Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I was doing my homework the last week, and Lori had introduced me to Mark Leggett, who is our guest tonight, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Actually, let's make sure that I got you. Try that again.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Huh. Move that mic close. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there.
I believe it's...
There you go.
There I am.
All right, you're good.
Thank you, Jeff. Great show. I've checked out a few of them. Really great stuff.
Thank you very much. But I was reading about, you know, as he's a killer guitarist, and you're going to hear some great stuff tonight. But he's more known as a composer, having been Emmy-nominated several times for his work on, I think one of them was The Pretender.
Yes.
And
there was a documentary several years ago, a history documentary, actually, mm-hmm. on History Channel.
But a lot of you will probably be familiar with one of his shows. It's very, very popular. Actually, when I was working on this, one of my friends asked me about, you know, who's my guest, and I named this show, and he said, oh, yeah, I know that show, and that's My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
So, anyway, welcome to the show. But
Thank you. The thing
that was really cool about the whole situation as I was reading about it is a lot of composers, you know, especially that will write for orchestra and stuff like that, they don't, you know, they have the guitar background, and I always ask the question is how it influences your writing. But the thing I noticed about the compositions and the clips that we're going to play tonight is you really integrate the guitar. You play the guitar. It's part of what you're doing. It's very integral to what you're doing.
Right. When the music calls for guitar music, yeah, that's where I start. And I usually start there harmonically. If I'm writing not a guitar piece but a string part or any other kind of orchestral part, I start with the guitar harmonically to get ideas and then transfer it over to piano and mm-hmm. strings and everything else. But it's always my launching pad because yeah. it's my instrument. It's
so, and I thought that was great because you can hear it in the music. So what I'm going to do right now before we get into his background and stuff is I'm going to play a clip from My Name is Earl, and it's all guitar, and we're going to find out what he's using on this. But you'll get an idea what I'm talking about because it's definitely a guitar tune. This is Q12 mm-hmm. of My Name is Earl. Take a listen.
That's some trashy stuff. That's
now, let's break that down.
Okay,
I want to know.
There's
what
not much to break down, but there's a swap meet in Van Nuys every Saturday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 years ago, we started the show, and 9 years ago, I think. And the first, before the season started, before it aired, we were collecting instruments and things, and I thought, I went and bought a $14 really beat-up guitar from Mexico that was just not a good instrument at all, cheap thing. and detuned it down, put big fat strings on it, tuned it way down, and that's what two of those are. The low part,
buzzy thing.
The low buzzy thing is the low string detuned down to whatever. It's down to A,
mm-hmm.
down to a low A, and the one on top is just these rattly things, semi in tune, tuned to probably a seventh chord, not tuned standard, and you just let that kind of dictate your tonalities and your chord changes, and not that there are changes in that, but it's just a vibe. And then you get trash can kind of sounding. We were using drum samples. We'd create some, but some of them we just took out of sample libraries, but we would distort them and make them kind of cheesy sounding, and it made it sound a little bit like we just wanted it to sound like, you know. Earl took place in a trailer court, kind of low-rent place, and that was the vibe of the show, great characters, and very vivid characters, and this sort of captured that vibe. We didn't use this on all of them. The cues to the show would range from, sometimes there'd be an orchestral cue, sometimes there'd be a lot of this sort of thing, sometimes there'd be some straight-out rock and blues, largely aired on the side of bluesy stuff, because the characters were crazy about, and Southern rock, the characters were crazy about Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That was, oh, very cool.
Yeah, so
very cool.
Everyone had Lynyrd Skynyrd shirts on, and Freebird was sort of like the unspoken
song.
Favorite song of the cast, you know.
Well, the legit mm-hmm. guitars, mm-hmm. what were you using for the, because there's like a finger-picking thing?
There is, but that high one's finger-picking is that same trashy, it's a pink.
Oh, really?
I wish I had a picture of it. It's a pink, cheesy-looking old beat-up guitar. $14 at the swap meet.
And you're using that also?
And that is also is the high part. The slide is probably, and it's been about 8 or 9 years, the slide is probably just a Martin,
okay.
you know, acoustic that I have. And but I don't think there are any electric instruments on that. It's all...
Yeah, no, so, it sounds very... Yeah. It sounds like you're in your backyard.
Exactly. You know, you're beating on your barbecue and,
yeah.
And you're... Your
that's very cool.
Bottles.
But I mean, the sound of it, the way the all of those pieces, that it's a great sound.
Thank you. Yeah, it worked out really well. We had some of these things. We selected a few cues, which these are those. Some of those, we had them remastered after the show had its run. We kind of made a collection of these, of the Earl stuff, sort of our favorite cues, and had them mastered. So these were, you know, mastered up a little bit, levels brought up a little bit, EQ'd a little differently than what was on the show.
Because mm-hmm.
on the show, you give them stems, you give them
right.
the guitar separate, the bass separate, the drums
oh,
separate.
Really? You would actually...
Yeah, they would ask for that. But typically, they left everything at null, and everything came up zero, and it was the mix you had intended.
But in term... Well, let me ask this then. Like, that cue, okay, this was mixed, remixed, mm-hmm. but in terms of the in use in the actual mm-hmm. show... Was it up in the mix, or did it tend to be buried a lot?
It depended on dialogue. That sounds like a cue, and I can't remember. They repurposed a lot of music. We built basically, essentially, a music library as the show goes on, as many TV shows do now. Cues from the first season will end up in second, third, and fourth seasons if they go that long.
Right.
And this one, I'm not sure was initially written for, but probably it was hot at the very top. It set the tone, and then they ducked it under dialogue as the scene develops. So, you know, you would never hear that in entirety as like as a feature.
Because it's very, there's a lot of low stuff in there. So I'm
yes.
thinking that it would be out of the way of the voices.
That won't stop them from ducking it,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they'll dip it down. You don't want to compete. Dialogue is king, and it should, you know. Dialogue
yeah.
has to be
yeah.
the top, because it's the story.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background and your influences and how you got to where you were, because, I mean, you have an interesting style.
Well, I've always played blues guitar growing up as a kid and lived all over the country. My dad was Air Force and started playing music in Arkansas. We were stationed in an Air Force base there and hit puberty and found a guitar and started, you know, just learning as much as I could. And then we traveled to different places. We lived on Guam at one point and met some great musicians there and learned some different styles there, and lived in Washington State, where I was actually originally born, and I lived there off and on and knew great players there, and I always learned from different people. But always that kind of swampy thing I was attracted to, blues styles.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended up in Kansas City as a young 19-year-old, met some really fine musicians in that town that I still know and love today.
And mm-hmm.
they taught me a lot about jazz harmony, improv harmony, basically just music skills in general. And several of us moved out here in 79 and just started from the bottom again, you know, playing in clubs, starting to write music, got a songwriting deal with Warner Chappell after about, I was here 10 years and finally started making a little bit of dough. And
well, it mentioned in your bio that you wrote for Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, well, I had a staff publishing deal with Warner Chappell, and she cut one of my tunes, as did some other minor artists. She was probably the biggest one at that time. It was largely dance-type music right then, with all that stuff that was in vogue. I had the distinction of playing on a number one hit by the artist Martika in 88, a song called Toy Soldiers that was then resampled about 4 years ago by Eminem. So I played all the guitars.
Oh, so you did the Martika, and then he sampled your guitar into
yeah.
the...
Very I actually cool. got a reuse check from the union, which That's was a nice. Surprise. So, a couple $100. So I actually played a solo and all the guitar parts on a number one song in 1988. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool. She was a great artist, Martika. Still is, still around.
Well, meeting all these different people and learning from them, too, what for you to write like you were writing on... like dance tunes, it's kind of different
Whole
than
different
the blues.
Thing. Was so, not a guitar based.
So,
thing.
What were you listening? Were you listening to a lot of that stuff, or what was your?
The whole MIDI and drum machine thing all came up through the 80s. You know, everybody started getting them, and I had a place in my apartment right down the street here in the valley, and loaded it up with gear. And I was doing tracks for people, anything I could do, as much guitar as I could do, but mostly people wanted tracks, and it was easy to do. I knew how to work the stuff, so I started doing that and got involved with these kind of pop writers and producers and did a bit of that for a while. But the bonus there, like it turned out in the scoring thing, is it was a bonus to be a guitar player because I could give them a track that had, you know, it was beats and keyboard parts, you know, minimal stuff. I'm not...
Well, that's the thing is you can lay the drum tracks, but it was hard at that time. I think it still is hard to sample guitar and make it sound right.
Yeah, you need a real guitar. And that's what I could bring and do the programming on tracks for people. So songwriters would hire me for their demos, which sometimes got made into records, as Martika's did. And just went from there and then got into television.
Now, back at those days when you were working in the studio, what were you using? What was your...
The first MIDI stuff I had was a DX7 and a Lin 9000 drum machine. I didn't understand MIDI yet, and people were teaching me how to what it all
I don't think
meant.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. Anyway, and eventually a Tiak 8 track.
Yes.
And we were just, you know, sound on sound.
Guitar wise, what were you using?
I had a Strat, a cheap Stratocaster, not one from that era. It's very inexpensive.
And stock?
Stock. Yeah, just whatever.
What kind of amps?
I used a Rockman. The plug first. For all those recordings back then, we'd go do sessions, they didn't want amps. They wanted that direct, you know, as direct sounding as could be, and that was just the cheapest way to do it.
The Rockman definitely was very popular.
Yeah, and it was, now it sounds super cheesy, but, you know, it meant not lugging an amp, and no one would have to mic it, because you were literally going to kind of songwriters' demo rooms at the time, and...
Oh, okay. So you weren't going. You were going to personal studios.
We did the records and stuff at bigger studios, and there we would bring in amps or rent stuff. But I never had a big rig. You know, there were guys with all the racks and stuff back then, and I never had that.
Yeah. No, but I remember that they would want you to go. Like I had to do a 12-string with a Rickenbacker. I had a Rickenbacker 12-string, and they wanted it like with a Fender amp, but they didn't want me to mic it. So what I used to do is I had a tube reverb, Fender reverb, which is the same preamp.
Oh,
and I just turned the reverb down and plugged that into the board, and it was all set,
ready to go. And I bet it sounded great.
Sounded just like a Fender,
real
just,
direct and bright.
Like,
that'd be great for.
But I know what you're saying. You just had to plug everything in and do that.
Yeah.
Well, let's play another clip. I want to get into a little bit of the electric guitars. This is Cue number 8, as it's labeled. For My Name Is Earl, and this. I want to talk about the sound, because you get some really interesting sounds on here. And I think there's harmonica on this, like it's real dirty sounding.
Yeah, in the show, the featured instruments were the guitar and the harmonica of Stanley Behrens, a great local...
I love Stan.
Stan, you know.
Hi,
Stan. Stanley Behrens plays with War right now. He's played with everybody from Willie Dixon to... He's just a
Canned
genius.
Heat.
Canned Heat, that's right. Yeah,
he's... Okay, well, you're going to hear it. Before I play it real quick, did he just blast into the mic to get the distortion from the microphone?
Yeah, he brought his Green Bullet microphone, and he'd plug it into one of my amps. At that time, the amp we've used was a Ampeg rocket, a little,
cool.
rocket from the 50s or 60s, and he just we turn it all the way up and just blast.
Okay, well, let me play this cue, and then we'll get into what you did in here. It's very cool.
Thank you. Harder than I thought it would.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. There's a there's like this really nasal type of sound in there.
That is, let's see, probably just like a 90s Les Paul classic on the treble pickup with a Roland, what is that? They've got a fuzz wah. Roland's got this wah-wah emulator thing. It's got all this distortion. I forget the model number of it. It's, anyway, with the filter on the wah all the way down to the highest frequency and blasting through a matchless amp in the studio, mic'd up, just loud as shit. And, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. And there are two of those on there doubled.
Okay.
And there's a sounds to me like there's a Fender Rhodes, probably a Rhodes sample, not a real one, the Rhodes sample, which is run through an amp. So we tried to put as many things through an amp. That's my writing partner and co-composer on the show, Danny Lux, playing drums. And Stanley just killing it. Stan Barron's on harmonica. And he's also, we utilized the baritone harmonica a lot, which that is. Bass harmonica. I'm sorry, not baritone. Bass harmonica. And that's a really great color for that stuff because it soaks up the bottom end when you need it.
It's a really full sound.
It really fills it out. And then you've got the super sub bass stuff on the bottom, if you can hear that. And it's a kind of the low spectrum.
But that main guitar, the rhythm guitar, it reminds me of the Dire Straits, that the I Want My MTV.
Yep.
Or Money for Nothing is the name of the song. But that sound, how did you get that sound? That's a great sound.
That's the wah pedal all the way down, filter with distortion. It's got a distortion filter in it. And the amp up loud, and that's it. And a treble, the treble pickup.
And that's the Les Paul too.
And so that's the Les Paul treble position. But it's all coming from that choked upper mid range wah wah, planted all the way to the bottom.
So now, is there just one rhythm guitar, or did you double it?
That's doubled.
That's doubled.
It sounds like there are two of those, one on each side, which I typically do there to spread it out. And then there's a cleaner. Kind of a bluesier slide, electric slide.
There is a slide.
There is. At the end, towards the end, you can hear it coming up.
Because I was listening, and it's hard to tell because you're kind of going in and out with the harmonica.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's like, is that slide?
Yeah, every now and then you'll hear the grease up on the high strings from the slide, which adds another,
kind of. But it blends well, and it kind of gives the harmonica more character.
It
kind of becomes part of the harmonica.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear it, everything's pretty much distorted, but it kind of works, Everything's kind of overdriven. But, and then for the vocal thing, I forget, in the scene, Earl and his brother are trapped in their sleazy motel room, and there's a SWAT team outside, mistakenly, and thinking they're the culprits. And I don't know what if people, the sheriff's department is calling them on the phone or whatever. And so we just took a vocal, myself speaking through a distortion plug to do the vocal part.
Oh, okay. So you're just distorting it?
Kind of mumbling it. Actually, we went through one of those Zoom little pocket amp things, plugged the mic straight in it, and just full distortion it. And that way you get that really close compressed sound that the vocal will cut through.
That's a very cool sound.
Yeah,
it works well.
It works well with the guitar. Yeah,
it's a very interesting.
It's been a very long time ago, but yeah, it's all coming back.
In miking that those amps and stuff, what were you using? Do you know?
Back then, just 57s and nothing fancy.
Nothing fancy.
Had a Pro Tools rig. You know, I was using Logic. You know, Logic and Pro Tools running together, and you know, I think in those days for preamps. Probably one of the Brent Averill Neves, you know, current Neve type designs. Nothing super fancy. I think just 57s, right on the cone.
It's got a great sound.
Yeah,
those matchlesses are nice.
It's really nice. When you turn them, they're great for a quiet, clean sound, but when you turn them up, they just scream.
Yeah, but I mean, to get them to really voice, you got to really. You gotta turn them up.
Yeah.
They'll shake rooms and break windows.
Yeah, neighbors weren't happy. Before I had an isolated studio too, so yeah, it was loud.
Well, let's get a little bit into your technique and, mm-hmm. and your playing, and you brought a few of the guitars
yeah.
in, and I don't know which one you want. Well, actually, before we get into that, why don't we take a look at that baritone?
Sure. This is a fretless baritone, semi-acoustic, electric something or other, built by John Carruthers, and. You know, no frets. It slides. Anyway, I tune it to open F with the 5 on the bottom. So 5-1-5-1-3-5. And I use it mainly for, I used it on a video that I put up on my site, a Leo Kottke tune that I learned called Vaseline Machine Gun, an early Kottke tune. Sound. It's redundant to have a fretless guitar with a slide, but it's still got the charm because when you do fret it, you can slide and you can slip around. Someone once asked me, why do you have the fretless with the slide? But I like the combination.
Yeah, I noticed that you would slide on the bass note a little bit
yeah.
and you do. Now, when Kottke did it, did he use a tenor?
No. No. I think, he tunes his 12-string. This was done on his 12-string. There are many versions that he's done now. But he detunes down, and I believe the original is like this type of tuning, what they call open G, but I just call it by the intervals, 5-1-5-1-3-5. He tunes down to E-flat on the original. So he's got that real baritone sound. So his low strings are quite, you know, detuned. But he's the master.
Yes, I love his. I was lucky
no
to see him play live.
And yeah, I've seen him a couple times.
His slide for 12 string, that's not easy to do.
And his sense of timing is what astounds me. I mean, his, you know, it just.
And if and I, just to everybody out there, if you ever get to see him live, his introductions to all of his songs are the most interesting thing.
I like to call him the Mark Twain of the American guitar because
yes.
he is, you know. Got the good tales.
He'll just say this thing totally out of the blue, and it goes right into the song.
Yeah, he's a great concert to see.
So, have you used this on any of the film composing?
Yeah, you know, I use it mostly for bass parts when I don't want a big like a Fender bass or something like that. But I'll, you know, because it's got that great low bottom.
It's interesting because he's playing with a thumb, but it's got a sharp.
So I got a callus on my thumb. It gives it the tick.
Okay, because you get it's very percussion. It almost has like that. It's a little mellower and a little more woody sounding, but it reminds me of like the Fender Bass 6.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like that. John Carruthers made a really nice guitar here, and the electric pickups really help. It's got two pickups. It's got a bridge piezo-type transducer under the bridge, under the saddle, and it's got this EMG up by the neck, which is really nice. So you can blend them up.
It's a piezo and an EMG. Yeah, it's a really... And then that's a spruce top, and what is that, mahogany?
I'm not sure. I should know this, but I confused the wood. I'm not sure. But the neck,
neck is maple with rosewood.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's very, very light.
Flip that over. Let me take a picture of the back of that so I can take a look at the wood.
Yeah, it's...
This is a beautiful... It's a beautiful... Oh, that wood is just amazing. And it's active. You got a... Oh,
it's
here, let me
pickup.
See the side from it.
Mm-hmm.
You got the...
The controls, yeah. The standard's sort of set up for a lot of acoustic, semi-acoustic guitars, and but
is that his custom preamp?
Yes. He's designed this and worked out the specs.
Yeah,
it's his deal.
Now, are those round or flat ones?
Flat ones. Only way to go, yeah, for me.
And what are you using on there?
I believe it's a 12, and the high string is a 12. No, it's a 13, going down to 50-something. You know,
and what brand?
Probably these are D'Addario.
D'Addario.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's kind of great. And is that hollow or solid?
Semi. It's chambered.
It's chambered.
Yes. Mostly hollow.
Okay. Now, you have a Carruthers Tully, and then you have your regular Fender.
I have my 68 Fender, which I bought because I had a 68 Fender as a kid growing up.
You might want to hand that over to put it on the chair.
Oh, thank you.
Have it, Laurie will put it on the chair, the ultimate guitar stand.
This one is a 68 Tully that I found here in L.A. a few years ago, but it's sort of like the one I had growing up as a kid.
And that's stock?
There's nothing. I had bridge saddles put on it, brass bridge saddles, and that's it. It's got a very bright pickup. And I use this mostly for just for standard tunings.
Now, when you record with this, do you use an amp or you just go directly?
No, I use an amp now.
What do you use?
I have a Carr Sportsman that I bought a few years ago that I like.
C-A-R-R.
They're out of North Carolina, I believe. Great little amp. You know, it's 30 watts. It's a little bit under a deluxe, Fender Deluxe wattage-wise. And I'll do that with just a stock, one of the newer Princetons, and I'll have two of them running together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually a pretty good recording
sound. How do you like the new Princetons compared to the old ones?
You change the transformer three times, they finally work. Yeah, it kept blowing up, and finally I had a real transformer put in. They came out of the shop. They ain't building them like they used to, as they say.
Are you using mercury magnetic?
I think that's what's in there.
They seem to be the most popular.
When I sent it over to Bob Dixon at the amp hole, and he sorted it all out. But it sounds great now, yeah.
Well, that's good because that's not hand wired. That's using a because that was one that's been a big debate. Like I have an older Deluxe and it's hand wired. Is it sound better? Is there a difference between that and the circuit board?
I don't know. I have a Deluxe that's old 65 maybe, and it's hand wired. It's pretty rich, and it sounds crappy. So I've had it worked on. It just doesn't have a good sound. So. I've played through the new ones, and I think, well, some of them
did you
good.
Change the transformer?
Didn't do anything. I think I had it cleaned up. Nothing was changed. It was just, they may have changed some caps and things in it, but it's still...
Well, from that era, you probably do.
Yeah, it just didn't sound... It still doesn't sound that great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. I feel ripped off.
No, I've heard people that have had problems with certain ones, but most of them I've heard are fixable.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Find a new guy, maybe.
Now, let's talk a little bit. How did you develop your technique? Because you kind of combine finger picking. You're using your hands. You're not using a pick.
Yeah, I never really...
And then you go in between that and slide.
I just kind of got into that from
being a slide player,
or wanting to be a slide player for a long time. And I'll start the line with, that's not good. I'll start the line, with fingers usually. Or.
So you use a slide to do the bends.
Sometimes, yeah, or sometimes I'll try to hit it spot on if I can.
Now, as he's playing, what he's doing is when he's just straight finger playing, he'll sometimes use the bar to do like a vibrato, or he'll use his hand. So he kind of interchanges between the two, and it's interesting. Because when he's playing a line and stuff, it kind of mixes well. It's like it's hard to tell sometimes what he's using.
It kind of flows a little easier when depends on when you pop it in. And it's almost strategic. You jump to the slide. It's more intuitive. I don't think about it, but you kind of think of the line coming up. I improvise a line and there it is, fingered.
Get a lot of sustain out of that.
That's a very clean, quiet sound, but this guitar has a nice pickup.
Yeah. Now, understand, if he was using like his Matchless and it was loud and clean, he would get a little more sustain.
Exactly.
He's at a low volume because we're in the studio, but he's actually getting a lot of sustain when he's using the slide. And the main difference is when you're using the slide and you move around, you're not picking as much, so you can
exactly. Exactly, you're not thumping it. And this is not set up for slide. Like a lot of players, and I have guitars set up. This other telly here is set up with really high action, because I use it more for slide than I do this one. Mm-hmm. But I just do this is very playable. The action's not really high, but I can still just about not hitting it hard, too hard when you hammer down. It's very easy to, smack it accidentally. When you get excited, like I did last night,
and it's low, so you can
that's
you
what
can
that was.
Yeah,
that's what that sound was. Me getting excited.
We're talking about the gig he played last night.
It was nervous, and so every time I went to the slide, I'd smack it. And finally, I settled down a bit.
It's interesting to note as you listen to this, when you listen to the show again, is how seamless it really is. I mean, there's obvious things that he's doing that are slide things, but the way he was playing, where he was, fingering chords and doing his chord melody, and then he would throw the slide in, the integration is very natural and very seamless.
Yeah, I tried to be.
And I think that's unique. I haven't heard a lot of people that do that a lot.
A lot of times you just hear a straight slide solo or a straight thing, and I don't know if I could do that very well. As far as, like a Derek Trucks, the king of this, is, he does both too, but, he is the king of that.
Well, since we're talking about guitars, grab the Carruthers.
Yeah,
let's take a listen to that one, and then I want to go in more some of the cues that you brought.
This is a telly that John Carruthers made, and I went through a few different pickup configurations and ended up with a Stratocaster pickup on the neck pickup, because I just don't like I didn't like the sound of a standard Tele neck. These are just Seymour Duncans, and it's a Seymour Duncan Tele pickup, a bridge pickup. And yeah, just really straight up. There's no fancy stuff. I use this mostly for open tuning. Usually tune it to open E. In this case, it's capoed up to the G.
And this is a higher action.
Action is higher. The strings are the same gauge, but if you play those two guitars, you'd swear that this one was a much heavier gauge, but it's the same. They're both 12s, or 11s, I'm sorry. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that arrangement. That's a beautiful arrangement for that.
Yeah, it's half slide, half fingered, you know, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you're doing a little bit of, and what are you using there? Is that the bridge neck pickup?
Yes, this is the neck. This this sounds a little brighter than it normally is, but usually it's a little bassier. But yeah, the bright pickup is very bright. Yeah, it's just kind of a standard Tele sound, except for it's got the Strat pickup in the front. So.
Yeah. Now, did you have to do anything? Because as I understand it, the Strat bridge pickup's a little wider than the standard Tele.
I don't know what he did. Yeah, no, he. I think he it fit. I think we did not do a new pick guard. We may have.
Well, the only thing, you know, they would have to route a little bit. But I've noticed that the E string, is the string over the pole or is it to the side of it?
On the high, on the low.
On the high.
It's not quite dead center, no.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. This is
And it's interesting. It's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. It actually, I think it contributes to the sound because
you're right.
You're not as hot, so it's giving you, it's a little farther from the string, and you're getting, when it's farther away, sometimes you get a little more tone out of it.
I think you're right, because the you notice the sixth string is the same, going the other direction. It's not quite over the pole. So center strings are pretty much dead on. Yeah, you're right, the first and the sixth are off-centered, but that may add to the...
No, I think it's a sound. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But anybody that's thinking about putting a Strat pickup, take that into consideration.
Yeah.
It is a different size.
But I like this neck. This neck is kind of... he took the dimensions off of this 68 and kind of mimicked that when he sized it and created it. If you've ever been to his shop out there in Camarillo, he used to be in Venice, but it's quite the manufacturing.
That's a beautiful... It's a double binding on it, and it's a nice... a nice sunburst to it.
Yeah,
it's a really beautiful guitar.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Well made. And I think that's an ash with a maple and rosewood.
Yep.
So it's the classic sound.
Same back as the baritone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting. I'll check later. I think that's a C style, the Tele, or is that a B?
I believe it's a C.
It's not that curved. It's a little flatter, right?
In the neck. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fretboard is a little bit flatter.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Well, that's later 60s where they were more popular. The earlier 60s, a lot of the old Buck Owens type and stuff, they were B style, which were curved more.
Is that right?
It was easier to chord, but it wasn't necessarily better for slide.
Yeah, I didn't get it for slide. It's just what I grew up with. You know, I got one when I was 19, I got one when I was 17. Saved up my money, and it was the first real electric I bought for myself.
That's
in my job at the gas station. And like a dummy, I sold it just before I came out here to L.A. in the 70s, and I regret it. So I ended up buying this, and the neck reminds me of my old guitar, same cut.
Yes, no, like I tell all my friends, never sell. You will always regret selling that guitar.
Yep, not the first one.
All right, well, listen, let's play some more stuff. Now I'm going to take a look at the Dolly Parton movie. You've got some interesting things that you're doing here. The first clip I'm going to play is called Lessons from Love. Lessons of Love, I'm sorry. And let's take a listen to it. Then we'll break it down and see what you did on it, because there's some really cool things that are happening on here.
Yeah.
So this is Lessons of Love. Thank you. those little, like, those little, it's, they sound like slide or steel. Mm-hmm. That's you,
it's
right?
It's slide guitar. Yeah, we didn't have steel on this one, pedal steel. That's all guitars. It's just a real reverbed out ambient, you know, it's actually a Tysco, old 60s Tysco that I had the neck redone. And it's, you know, original pickups, real bright, kind of a bright sound on that one.
Yeah, it's
and,
really nice.
And really tucked in the back, lots of reverb, and with a volume pedal, a lot of volume pedal in there to give it that slide thing, mm-hmm. so the pedal steel sound, you know, you just kind of sneak it in and out, you know. You know, and it kind of gives that effect, and you're bending around. And there are two of those. There's the, all that ambience you hear that sounds kind of ghosty, floaty stuff. That's the same guitar with even more reverb, doing all those washes and creating clusters and pads.
Yeah,
and that's all the same guitar. It's got a little.
Now, are you doing that direct and then post putting the reverb, or is that through an amp and then?
No, the reverb was in Pro Tools, so we would have a direct. Clean guitar sound to work with to start with, usually.
So you went right into
and
the
then
Pro
go
Tools.
Right into Pro Tools with that, you know, mic'd it, and then affected as needed. And you know, as you would get the scene in this scene, 9-year-old little Dolly Parton is talking to her mother and learning a lesson of love. That's what it's a, you know, and a heart to heart conversation. And so you had to really stay out of the way, but set the mood. And I like this cue because it kind of has almost a 50s kind of that. I don't know what style that was, but kind of a 50s guitar sound style to me, which fits the era because it is the 50s in the scene, in the show. And
well, when you hear the guitar where it's clear that you played a chord or something,
right.
You can hear that. That was all the Tysco.
All
that
the
wasn't
Tysco.
A Tele.
No, it was all Tysco.
Yeah. You can hear that sound is the die for sound of that era.
And, you know, but with more reverb. Although they used a lot of reverb sometimes back then. But, and there is, you can hear the acoustic guitars being doubled with a harp sample.
That's what that was.
Doing the arpeggio.
Yeah.
That pattern, ostinato that runs through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and carries through that. So you double the acoustic with a harp, pan them a little bit, put in the ambient guitars, do the slide thing. You know, the first thing I had was the melody when I wrote it. That's just what reminded me of the 50s things. It was...
Yeah, and I'm watching you finger how you're doing the fingering. Now that's you were telling me earlier before the show, you kind of write to the tuning. You'll be in a tuning, and you kind of just go with.
If it's a guitar tuning, yeah, this was just an open straight standard. So this was. I think
now this is a standard tuning.
Standard tuning, yeah. I just thought of it. I said, what sounds like a nice lullaby 50s melody? And that's always that kind of interval. Kind of a jump, the sixth, and then put the flat five on this four chord.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you that little tension. And then back down. A little plaintive there. Dolly's upset, and mm-hmm. talking to mom, and it's, you know, gives you that nice lift.
It's a nice, delicate, light, little melody, but very emotional.
Yeah, thank you. The production was, you know, had to really be kind of ambient and soaked like that.
Now, that's interesting because the ambient type of thing that you're doing is more contemporary, but it actually feels more period.
It kind of does. You know, that's why I think that kind of guitar melody, that style of writing, fits well, and then you soak it with whatever in the background, and it works.
Because you have how many guitars do you have on that track?
That sounds like the Tysco, the ambient pad Tysco, the melody guitar, which has also got a lot of reverb, and then there's the acoustic playing.
It's just it's just the acoustic doubled with the harp. You're not doubling the two. You're not doubling any of the parts.
No, the
that's
melody.
Really
the
mel- full.
The melody needed to be just a single guitar to make it. You know,
speak, it's real intimate
to speak. Yeah, and there is. It sounds to me like a bit of a belly kind of Rhodes sound in there as well. We probably put a little.
There's some deep. Yeah.
Yeah, low and high. I think the bottom actually was probably the Carruthers baritone playing the bass. There's some low notes, so that it has that real transducer piezo type sound to it, which works well.
That baritone just warm is so
warm. Yeah, it warms it up.
That's good. Well, we're almost out of time. I'm going to play the other.
We just started.
I know. I'm going to play the other clip from the Dolly Parton, Jake and Billy. Let me just play that, and then you can tell me more what you did here.
This was a simple one. Yeah, this was fun.
That was a quick one.
Yeah, sure.
Now that's the one with Dave.
Yeah, Dave Perlman, great pedal steel player here in L.A. That's
Hi,
Dave.
Dave.
Hi,
He's
Dave.
He's been
Perlman.
On the show.
We love you.
Yeah. I love his mics too.
Yeah, who doesn't? And
what else
and
is on there?
That's the Tysco guitar and reverb, and that's it. No, I take that back. There is a bass. There's something playing on the bottom.
Maybe
the baritone. Maybe it may have been a Fender bass. I'm not sure. But it's such a simple thing. It's just, you know, two chords. It just set up a scene where there was a little tension between Dolly's father and her uncle, Uncle Billy, roustabout.
What did you give Dave in terms of the part?
On this one, it was just like, hey, I'm going to play E and A, and here.
And just let him
and
do
here's,
his thing.
Here's the click, and here's the tempo, and it just has to be. Great thing, you know, very simple, but just give it that flavor.
Now, did he amp or did you, Mike? Did you?
I had him in it. He was in an amp as well. Yeah.
Okay. So, what were you using?
He played through. I think on that he played through my matchless. Yeah.
Matchless, and then what? And you used the matchless.
I used the matchless too, but mine. We didn't do it at the same time.
Yeah.
I had put the guitar down, and I said, "Oh, just you know, sweeten this up with your great pedal steel," and he did.
Now the matchless.
Really, really simple.
And that the matchless has what, 2/12s.
112. Open back. Yeah.
That's a full sound.
Yeah, it's a good amp.
It gets pretty deep.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, did you use Perlman mics on that one?
No, because I couldn't. I have his TM1s, and those are the big cap mics, and that wouldn't sound good on there. No, for that, it was a ribbon mic.
A ribbon?
Yeah, like a Royer.
It's a great sound.
Yeah, the Royer.
It's a really, really, really good sound. Well, we're almost out of time. I just want to mention, you had just done a gig. Is there anything else coming up that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, September 8th, Friday, September 8th, I'm going to do three acoustic numbers to open a show at the Wiltern, and it's called Easy Rider Live, and it's the movie Easy Rider with a live band playing the soundtrack. As the movie, you know, progresses, every time there's a tune, it will be a live band playing instead of the recorded soundtrack, and it's a great band from up in San Francisco. A buddy of mine, old friend of mine, Matt Fassberg, is putting the show together, and he's done a few of them up there, and he's bringing it down here to the Wiltern. And he said, "Why don't?" He saw a couple of the clips I did on the internet, and said,
"That'll be interesting.
Come on down and play three songs." Kind of scary because I usually don't play acoustic or in front of that many people, but
it'll be just you solo, or
yeah, just three little acoustic pieces. I'll do probably my arrangement of Blackbird. Maybe I'll do the Kottke Vaseline Machine Gun on the baritone, and one other piece, probably a song from the soundtrack, Dylan's song "It's All Right, Ma," which we did last night at the trip.
Oh, very, very cool.
So yeah, it'll be fun.
And then everybody, markleggett.com, and is his website, and there's a lot of cool stuff on there. where a bunch of different things in it and show some of the recordings.
Yeah, most
and
stuff. Of the stuff is on my Facebook, Mark Leggett Music Facebook page.
Now, the my name is Earl. Is that available as like a CD?
Yeah, the shows are streaming on Netflix.
No. But I mean the remastered
thing. Oh, no. We can't commercially release that at all because Fox owns that. That was a Fox show. Paramount Fox, I believe. And no, we don't own the rights to that. So we mastered it just for our own use and you know, to put on reels to hopefully get other jobs and just to have. It's up on SoundCloud, though. Oh, if you want to go check it out on my Mark Leggett SoundCloud. All that Earl
and
stuff.
And the Dolly Parton, did that come out as a soundtrack?
Yes, we have CDs, non-commercial CDs available. I'll send you one. And I got to say, a lot of that Dolly Parton music is orchestra. We wrote a lot of orchestra. That was scored with my good buddy Velton Ray Bunch, great composer here in L.A. And it's not all guitar music like we play. Those are the key guitar ones, but there's quite a bit of, you know, we utilized like small orchestra, like 25 pieces, and a lot of string orchestra.
Did you use like the orchestra with like playing slide and stuff?
Yeah, some of the cues do.
Well,
that.
That's an excuse to have you come back on.
Yeah, I'll pull some more of those. I'd love to. Yeah, some of them are kind of fun and bouncy and up tempo.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna leave. And Lori.
And just Mark's trio did such a great job last night at Trip Bar that we're definitely gonna have him play again. Possibly on a Tuesday before Julian Coryell.
Great.
He has like a weekly thing that he does. So it'd be
who's in the trio? Who's in the trio?
My old friend Rick Moore is a great bass player from the Bone Daddies.
Hi, Rick.
Bone
Daddies.
Remember the Bone Daddies used to play all over LA? I think they still do.
And another band called Conjunto Jardín.
Conjunto Jardín is the other band he plays with. And the drummer is Tom Walsh, just the greatest drummer in LA. Just a wonderful guy. And he's a great guy. I've known him for years. It was a fun trio. We worked up some of these guitar arrangements that I do, and we did them as a trio, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah. So watch Trip Santa Monica.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I want to thank Lori again for introducing me to
you. You're welcome.
I mean,
thank you.
It was great. Great show.
This is a great show. We definitely got to do more.
I would love to.
I want
to
go more into the Dolly Parton and some more of the stuff that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Also, too, maybe some of the next time we'll go in more acoustic, too.
Sure,
just
I'd love
play
to
around.
That. Yeah, I need to practice for that Wiltern show anyway.
It's always a good excuse to have him bring all these different guitars.
There you go.
But these Carruther guitars are something
else.
Yeah,
he's really something.
So, but anyway, okay, I'm going to play, and you can set this up for me. This one has both fingerstyle and slide in it, multiple guitars. This is from My Name is Earl, and it's cue number 3.
Boy. Anybody's guess what that is?
Okay.
It's been so long.
It just becomes another number. No, I know. But it's a beautiful piece. It's short.
Oh, it's the quiet one. It's the kind of mellow one. Oh, yeah. I think I know which one it is.
What were you using? Or if you
I had to have to hear it.
Okay, I'll find out. That'll be
the next.
We have a cliffhanger on this show.
There you go.
So next show, we will tell
Thank
you.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. Great show.
I love it. It's my pleasure. Everybody, markleggett.com. Check it out. And check out this Easy Rider Live. That should be pretty That should be pretty fun.
September 8th.
Everybody, this is cue number 3 from My Name is Earl. Everybody have a great night.